ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो 13th चैप्टर वर्स नंबर 18। ना ते शयानस्य निरुद्यमस्य ब्रह्मन् नु हार्थो यत एव भोगः। न ते शयानस्य निरुद्यमस्य ब्रह्मन् नु हार्थो यत एव भोगः। अभोगिनोयं तव विप्रदेहः पीवायतस्तद्वदना क्षमं ते। ट्रांसलेशन परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ओ ब्राह्मण, फुल इन नॉलेज ऑफ ट्रांसेंडेंस, यू हैव नथिंग टू डू, therefore you are lying down. It is also understood that you have no money for sense enjoyment. How then has your body become so fat? Under the circumstances, if you do not consider my question impudent, kindly explain how this has happened. Purport. Generally, those engaged in spiritual advancement take food only once. I should not be reading more because I'm not disqualified. But anyway, somebody has to sit here. Generally, those engaged in spiritual advancement take food only once, either in the afternoon or in the evening. If one takes food only once, naturally he does not become fat. The learned sage, however, was quite fat. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj was very much surprised. Because of being experienced in self-realization, a transcendentalist certainly becomes bright-faced, and one who is advanced in self-realization must be considered to possess the body of a brahmana. Because the bright-faced saintly person was lying down and not working and yet was quite fat, Prahlad Maharaj was puzzled and wanted to question him about this. So herein Prahlad Maharaj is inquiring from the brahmana who is lying down and engage in ajgara vritti, right? That's ajgara vritti. That means total dependence on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his maintenance. Factually, we are always dependent on Krishna. And the sign of spiritual advancement is to know that every moment I am dependent on God. Depending on our varna and ashram, we may have to do certain duties on an external level to maintain, not to have any chaos in society. But actually the fact is that everything is 100% controlled by Krishna. Everything. Even the movement of the eyebrows, the next word that I'm going to speak, the next breath that I'm going to take, the past breath, who is going to give class. I just came yesterday and I had darshan of the deities in the evening, and after darshan I met Krishnanam Prabhu and he very kindly ordered me to give class. So if I would not have come for darshan, I would not be giving class. But what we understand is that destiny is there in everything, beginning from the child in the womb till the graveyard. Everything is destined. Where you are going to eat, what you are going to eat, which bathroom and other places, which school, which college, which job, which marriage, which divorce, where sannyas. Everything is predestined. A devotee should know. Of course, doesn't mean that one does not endeavor for serving Krishna, just to please Krishna. That's all. We have to just please Krishna. We can't do anything, we cannot not do anything. Supreme Lord desires that something should be done through you, it will be done. And if some Supreme Lord does not want something to be done through you, it wants to be done through somebody else, that will also happen. So devotee should know this, that everything is 100% dependent on Krishna. Which cremation ground the final rites will be performed, even that is arranged. That is generally sponsored. So why be in anxiety? A devotee's only anxiety is to try to help others be Krishna conscious. Because there is nothing lacking in the world. The only thing lacking is a lack of Krishna consciousness. The only thing we can do is to try to repeat the message of Krishna. And even that, we are not the doers. Krishna can make the whole universe Krishna conscious in one moment. The discussion between Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vasudev Datta Thakur. Such wonderful is our parampara that such divine personalities are there, like Haridas Thakur, Vasudev Datta Thakur. Just remembering them purifies the whole universe. They said about Haridas Thakur that anybody who chants the name of Haridas Thakur even once, he goes back to Godhead. Jai Jai Haridas. What more is to be said in the class? Everybody is going back to Godhead. There's nothing more. Just glorifying Vaishnavas, glorifying Krishna. And everything else is taken care of. Yoga Chema Vahamyam. A devotee's life is just to glorify. With 1,000 tongues to glorify Haridas Thakur, 1,000 tongues to glorify Vasudev Datta Thakur, or any of their descendants, or any of their predecessors, or any of the avatars. The realm of absolute is infinity. There is no end. One can go on singing the name of Krishna infinitely. In one lecture, Prabhupada was saying, just like this chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, one can go on 24 hours without feeling tired. So just by accessing the parampara, which is comprised of these wonderful acharyas, that itself is success. Devotee doesn't have to do anything. Just remain connected and try to be their menial, obedient servant. Vasudev Datta prayed like this. When the Lord asked him, what is your desire? He prayed, my Lord, let all living entities, irrespective of their karmic situations, let all of them be delivered, all of them go back to Godhead. And if you feel they are sinful, then let me suffer for their sins. And Prabhupada writes in the purport there, Chaitanya Charitamrita, that this is act, this feelings of compassion are unparalleled even in religious history. Nowhere do you find. Lord Jesus Christ is no doubt one great acharya also. He also prayed like that for his followers. But Vasudev Datta is praying for all living beings. It's not only human beings, but ants and dogs and cockroach and demigods and gandharvas and kinnars. Just praying that let all of them be elevated to going back to Godhead. Let me suffer. It's one thing to pray if it doesn't cost anything, right? Just like if you are traveling in a train and if there's empty seat and if you offer somebody to sit, it's not a big thing, right? If you're having one seat and 3 seats are vacant and you say, oh, kindly come, I'm offering this to you, it's nothing. Because you're not taking any difficulties for that. But if it's very crowded and you have a seat and you offer it to somebody else, that is some sacrifice. If there is, lot of prasad and I'm eating my plate and offering to others, that is nice. But if there's very little and I offer what I have to others, that is compassion. And our parampara is a parampara of compassion, of sacrificing. When we get chance to preach or to distribute Prabhupada's books or do any service in this mission, we should consider what a great benediction. Because through these acts of compassion, even if we're not compassionate, but just by acting anyway, we become purified and become eligible to enter into Krishna's kingdom. We should be so thankful that Krishna is so kind that he is giving me chance to take some suffering for propagating the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this Vasudev Datta Thakur is exhibiting that sense of compassion. Like Rantidev, when Rantidev was fasting for 48 days, 48 days, right? Fasting for 48 days, completely without any water. We do it once a year, 24 hours, and we are eagerly awaiting 2 minutes past six when you have to break the fast. But he was fasting for 48 days and was just about to break his fast. And when Brahmana came and immediately offered half his food, he was about to break his fast, and then somebody else came, he offered that also. He had just some water left. And a dog came. Somebody brought his dogs. My dogs are thirsty. You know, a person like me would think, okay, you and your dogs, what is my business here? Why should I sacrifice? But he gave up everything. You have to give up everything to get God. There's no question of anything in between. Unless we come to that point wherever every breath is for pleasing Krishna, for alleviating the sufferings of mankind, until we come to that platform, we cannot enter into Krishna Lok. Just for our own purification, we are taking devotional service. We are nowhere near Vasudev Datta, where we actually feel compassion. But because we have compassion on ourselves, we are doing devotional service. Because by acting in devotional service, we become purified. And thus we become closer to Krishna. Every moment is a journey. Every moment we are coming closer to Krishna. Devotional service should never be static. It may be in the same temple, same building, same room, same service, but every moment is dynamic. Because every moment we are actually encountering Krishna. Every moment Krishna is exhibiting his mercy in a different way. One who is in the mode of ignorance may not be able to see. But as the devotee advances, he sees the hand of Krishna in everything and an opportunity to embrace Krishna. Like Prabhupada was saying, one devotee in Mayapur was speaking that, Prabhupada saying, that you are sitting on the earth, but I am feeling I am in the lap of Krishna. The air is blowing, you are feeling the nice air, cool air, but I am feeling that Krishna is embracing me. This is Krishna consciousness. To feel Krishna's presence, everything, everywhere, every moment. How can devotional service be boring? Or how can it be, how can we become lackadaisical if we know that this is a darshan of Krishna? It's like when we come before the deities at 7:45, we are very eager to see Krishna. So for a devotee, every moment is a darshan of Krishna. Through material nature, Krishna is exhibiting his potencies. Through every devotee, Krishna is teaching us something. Through even the non-devotees, Krishna is teaching us something. Dhruva Maharaj got his first instruction from Suruchi. He was not even a devotee at that time. But he took it. And here we see this saintly person is lying down, completely dependent on Krishna. The fact is, Prabhupada writes that 100% dependence on Krishna is a perfection of life. That doesn't mean that we do not try, but we try just to please Krishna, not for our bodily necessities. Because the fact is that, like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going from Navadvip to Puri after taking sannyas, he had Jagadananda, Brahmananda, Gadadhar, Mukunda, and Nityananda. And he asked his followers, have you taken some supplies for the way? Do you have something? He said, no, my lord, how could we take anything without your permission? Lord said, very good. If you would have taken anything, I would have sent you back. Because this whole world is Anna Kshetra. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, in the Bengali, it says that this whole world is actually an arrangement of food by God. And Krishna arranges at what time, what person, what food will be available. So why should one worry? Just remember Hari. Hari, Hari. A devotee should breathe like that. Prabhupada actually told once that when you are eating prasad, every morsel you should be chanting Hari, Hari. Every morsel, every breath. But the fact is that death can come any time. We heard a couple of days back, Shila Bhakti Vaibhav, Puri Maharaj left, right, 2 days back. Death is imminent. Whether you are a very, very advanced Mahabhagavat, or whether somebody is ordinary person, death is always coming. I just visited my father who is in his last, maybe maximum 1 year or so. I was reading Ramayana for him. And in the meanwhile, I got one phone call from another devotee. Said, please pray for my father. And the next day, his father left. Actually, how can we not be conscious of death if our eyes are open? Every time, you see small insects, ants dying, animals dying, humans dying. Death is everywhere. This is law of nature. So if we just keep our eyes open and be conscious, then we can increase our love for Krishna every moment by chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada writes in one purport that actually one should chant 24 hours. One devotee, very good friend of mine, he told me, you always talk about chanting always, but is that your adhikar? Is that, what is your level? Are you fit to actually chant 24 hours? So, this is for Mahabhagavat. So then I humbly showed him that there's one purport Prabhupada says, we may not be able to do it because of our neophyte nature, but our aspiration should be there. Even while doing one's duty, near about great souls, not imitating, but following in the footsteps. Because unless we aim, we will never reach. If our aim is to just finish 16 rounds before breakfast, and we are satisfied, then we'll not make rapid spiritual advancement. We'll make some advancement. But to attain Krishna, you have to have some kind of madness to attain Krishna. Like Raghunath Das Goswami. He was mad. He was running. He had a nice family, everything, wealth, but he was running. Sanatana Goswami ran. There has to be an urge to attain Krishna's mercy. That is the only price. Krishna doesn't want anything. No qualification. Doesn't even matter what your past background is, what your academic qualification is, or which varna or ashram you are in. One has to have an irresistible urge to cry for God. Then only you can get Krishna. And I have noticed in my own life, and you may have also, that when we first come into Krishna consciousness, there is that kind of urge. There is kind of that feeling to rapidly attain the lotus feet of Krishna. But because of the conditioned nature and because of the power of Maya, we go through a stage of plateau. Like if you draw a graph, the graph that's curved is going up, and then it's a plateau. We are well settled and we are making some advancement. That's nice. But a devotee should not be satisfied with that. A devotee should think that until I see Krishna face to face, I will keep weeping for Krishna. I will not be satisfied. Weeping in the sense not of false tears, but weeping is to engage in service irrespective of the condition of the body and mind. Ahituki apratihata. That is devotional service. Where we are only thinking every moment, how will my Lord of the heart, Krishna, be satisfied? Recently you must have all read this autobiography by Sri Radhanath Maharaj. How you find in him craving, search for the truth. Many of us came directly to Srila Prabhupada, so we may not realize the greatness of what we have. That human tendency, when something is available easily, then we don't realize its value. But the fact is, the opportunity to do any insignificant service in Lord Chaitanya's movement is a great benediction. It is said in the Shastras that even demigods are eager to take birth in Kali Yuga, in human bodies, and try to assist in Lord Chaitanya's mission. So you can learn from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj's autobiography how to be craving. And actually that search or that journey for us, it will only end when we reach the spiritual world. What happens in life is really insignificant as long as we can die chanting Hare Krishna. Is it not? What does it matter? Whether one is good health or bad health, you live like a king or a pauper, you eat pizza and pista and paneer, or you eat just some dry chapati. It really doesn't matter. What matters is, am I coming closer to Krishna? Am I really craving for Krishna? One beautiful lecture by Radhanath Swami Maharaj in Benapol, Radha Gopinath Prabhu and some senior brahmacharis were there, along with Indradumna Maharaj and Radhanath Maharaj. And Maharaj spoke very beautifully about, if you have not yet listened, please, I recommend and suggest the CD called Bangladesh Yatra, the first lecture. It's about 47 minutes lecture. Maharaj is describing the life of Haridas Thakur. Benapol is the place where that prostitute came to test Haridas. So there Maharaj speaks after the story. The last 10 or about 20 minutes is so deep. I try to hear it almost every week. And that inspires me in improving my chanting. Maharaj says some very few sentences, but each sentence is like a book. It's like just like 1 gram of gold is worth 100 kg, more than 100 kg of iron. So every sentence spoken there is, it's always with Radhanath Maharaj, but especially in that level. There Maharaj is saying that one should not be satisfied with just finishing 116 round. If you actually want to attain Krishna, one should be begging for mercy. Begging, like a beggar. Being a beggar. Like Prabhupada was very happy when Radhanath Maharaj was begging to buy Krishna book. Yeah. So that, if anything is available easily, then the price is, you don't feel the price. That begging. That's why Krishna doesn't make himself so easily available. Pure name is not so easy. Chanting Hare Krishna is very easy. That's good. That's advertisement. That's good. But then as we go higher and higher, Krishna wants that you should actually show your love for him by being desperate. So Maharaj uses the word beg for mercy and then yearn for mercy. Like you are yearning. Like yearning for something. It's like a chataka bird is yearning when the raindrop will come. Even if you give the best of the waters or lemon juice or Bisleri water, they want just that raindrop of the mercy of the Lord. And then Maharaj says about pleading for mercy. We should plead before God. We are guilty. We are sinful, at least I am to myself. A devotee, as he advances, he should understand that, yes, I am so degraded. I have no good qualification. In one beautiful purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the more fallen one is, the more his claim to receive Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Actually, that's a very good line. I always remember this. It's hope for me. Hope for all of us. The more fallen one is, the more his claim is. But one should admit that I am fallen. There's nothing else needed in Krishna consciousness. We want love for God. And that comes by the mercy of the Lord. And the mercy is available to all only if we admit that, yes, I am fallen. I really have no qualification. I am worthless. I am destitute. I am insignificant. I have nothing to claim good materially, spiritually, or in any way. I am simply dependent on your lotus feet. In one beautiful purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Bhagati Vinoda Prabhu Charane Podiya Sei Hari Nama Mantra Loilo Magi. This is a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Arunodai Kirtan. And Prabhupada quotes this line in the purport and then he says, following in the footsteps of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one should fall at the lotus feet of the Lord and then chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One should literally be falling not only at the feet of the Lord, the feet of the Guru, feet of every devotee. Who knows? We judge people according to age and according to the color of the cloth. But somebody who is a new devotee may have been a Prabhupada disciple in past life, just waiting 1% left. So the safe thing is to think everything is superior, everybody is superior. If somebody is demoniac, he is just playing the role of Hiranyakashipu. Let me not commit any offense. Let me just walk with a straw between my teeth. A devotee should walk with a straw between his teeth, seeing the super soul in everybody's heart. How can I not bow down if I am able to see Krishna everywhere? And if I am not able to see Krishna, the Shastras say that Krishna is everywhere. So let me bow down at least on a theoretical level. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says like this. Shri Krishna kirtane jadi manasa tohara parama yatana tahe labhe adhikar. If you want to chant the name of Krishna incessantly, Krishna adhishtane sarve jive jani. You just see that Krishna is situated at least on an intellectual level. Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddheshwar juntishtha. Let me learn to bow down as a practice, as a discipline, as a teaching to my false ego. Everybody is superior. Everybody is superior. Even if I don't feel like that, just to go back to God, this is the qualification. Let me imbibe that mood. Right? And if you have to take a flight or a train and there's no seat, but you are told you can come in if you admit that you are, everybody is superior. So no problem, everybody is superior. So the plane back to Godhead, there's a seat for all of us if we just admit everybody is superior. Everybody is better than me. Everybody is my Prabhu. I am servant, the servant, the servant of the servant of the servant, servant. It's actually so simple. But because of our conditioning, false ego, we may not be able to do it immediately. But that should be our aspiration. Shri Krishna Kirtane. Kabe habe bolo se dinama. When will I be able to do that consciousness? And if we aspire, and then Maharaj says in that, coming back to the Benapole lecture, beg for mercy, then yearn for mercy, plead for mercy, and finally cry for mercy. Crying for mercy. Misery is a great blessing, because in misery, in difficulty, one can turn to Krishna. It actually humbles the mind. It humbles the false ego. So, one should be begging, crying. Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he always emphasizes this point. Bhuvaneshwar is a nice temple that has been built under his direction. Right? This is a school I have opened. Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj says, this is a school I have opened to teach people how to cry for the mercy of the Lord. So, when we hear these great souls, like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj also says, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, and ultimately Srila Prabhupada, their words should be our constant meditation all throughout the day, and especially during chanting, that Krishna, please give me shelter. Let me learn to minimize the necessities of the body. Like Prabhupada writes here, that generally those engaged in spiritual advancement take food only once. I don't know how many of us are eligible. I just had breakfast before the class, and then lunch, and then. But depending on the requirement, one may take one or two times. But the principle is to reduce the necessities of the body. Because time is very short. If you just see, I was just calculating, it's more than 20 years since I joined the movement. And still I am not able to chant attentively. Since I am not able to concentrate on the holy name. And first, much after 20 that I joined, and already 20 is past. That means more than half the life is gone. And just little bit is left. So urgency should be there. So because the time is less, if you eat less, then there's less time spent in cooking, less time in eating, and less time in digestion. Naturally, sleep reduces. And most diseases also reduce. Is it not? We should not be totally one-sided. You have to eat something. We cannot imitate Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami is is not a person of this world. It's a Vaikuntha person. He was accepting prasad just once in 3 days. But following in his footsteps, the devotee should try that, let me do with the bare minimum. And time also, one should be very conscious of time. That let me just eat. We see Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, his schedule, if you see, he had a very detailed timetable of how he would spend his time. And he would take two times, but little bit, maybe one chapati, a little milk, like that. So one should see what is needed. But the principle should be, let me eat for living and not live for eating. Because the fact is that the tongue will never be satisfied. Prabhupada says that if you are attached to a rasgulla, then you have to take birth again. Maybe in a Bengali family. If it is Mayapuri, it's all right. But still, why take birth? Is it not? Why take birth? Just the thought of going into a mother's womb, even if devotee mother, womb is womb, is always not a very pleasurable experience. So that should make us detached from the desire for enjoying anything. Just one should simply be like a madman, like Raghunath Das Goswami. That I have only one attention. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunand. Just one focus in life, to please Krishna. Prabhupada writes in one purport that eating, sleeping, mating, defending is material. The less you do this thing, the more you are closer to Krishna. Prabhupada actually says like this, that liberation means to give up eating, sleeping. Because we cannot imitate, but at least that should be the goal. If we aim for the moon, we may reach the treetop. You know, if we aim for Raghunath Das Goswami, at least we cannot aim for that, but at least try to reduce. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he would condemn himself. I read a little bit about his life because it's very relevant to today's purport. In the beginning, when Raghunath Das Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, he was taking the remnants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after some days, for 5 days, he got the remnants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he was feeling himself unqualified for even that. He would go to the Sinhadwar and stand after the Pushpanjali ceremony in which the flowers are offered to Lord Jagannath. And he would wait. And many servants would come back. And when they would see a beggar, they would give something. So Kaviraj Goswami writes a very nice point here. Sarvadina karena Vaishnav Nama Sankirtan Swachanda karena Jagannatha Darshan. A completely dependent Vaishnava chants the holy name of the Lord all day and sees Jagannath with full freedom. So simply begging. He did not want to waste any time. Just begging, and in the meanwhile also chanting. It's like every moment, suppose you are waiting for prasad, then one should simply be chanting. In the mind at least, if not physical. Every moment, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. We hear the story of Srila Kenchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. Whatever he was asked, he would say, Hare Krishna. It's always Hare Krishna. It's always Hare Krishna. The password to the spiritual world. Just say Hare Krishna. Just to Vairagi kare, Sarvadina karena Vaishnav nama sankirtan. And then there's a very beautiful verse which is very relevant to today's purport. Mahaprabhura bhakta ganera vairagya pradhan jaha dekhe priti hai gaur bhagavan. Renunciation is a basic principle sustaining the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. Seeing this renunciation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is extremely satisfied. In other words, it's not that renunciation is only for brahmacharis. A grihastha can also be equally renounced. Many grihasthas are more renounced than sannyasis. They just be in that, not only physically renouncing, physical renunciation is of course needed, that means eating less, avoiding sex life, and more than that, renouncing the false ego. False ego can be renounced by cultivating the feeling that I am servant. I am servant of the servant of the servant. I am servant of the servant of the servant. I'm just meditating on the grass and the tree. This grass and tree should be the picture in our heart always. ideal for chanting. Always thinking that. When will I become? Trinadi kahina kabe nijamani sahishnuta gun vrikhasamani kabe habe bolo sedinam. When will I become like this? When will I become? Prabhupada writes in the purport to this word, anyone, whether an ordinary materialistic person or a pure devotee, can understand the behavior of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotee if he studies it minutely. One will find that the devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not at all attached to any kind of material enjoyment. They have given up completely sense enjoyment to engage fully in the service of Krishna and dedicate their lives and souls to serving Krishna without material desire. Because their devotional service is free from material desires, it is unimpeded by material circumstances. Although ordinary men have great difficulty understanding the attitude of devotees, it is greatly appreciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, one should be eager to be appreciated by Krishna or by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not be appreciated by people of this world. In Bible also there are many sayings like that. Do not worry what he shall eat, what he shall drink. Did the birds not eat? Did the lilies not dress themselves? The devotee's anxiety is never on the level of the body. His anxiety is, I may remember Krishna. Finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Govinda, where is he taking prasad? So Govinda said, he is taking prasad at Sinhadwar. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bhala Kaila, Vairagira Dharma Acharila. Bhala Kaila means Raghunath has done very well. He has acted suitably for a person, the renounced order. Vairagi Kori Besada Nama Sankirtan, Magiya Kaya Kore Jivana Rakshan. A person in the renounced order should always chant the holy name of the Lord, should beg some alms to eat, and should sustain his life in this way. So, Vairagi Hoye Jeba Kare Parapeksha, Kare Siddhi Na Hoye, Krishna Kare No Peksha. If a person in the renounced order of life should not depend on others, if he does, he will be unsuccessful and he will be neglected by Krishna. So, either you are going to be accepted by Krishna and neglected by the world, or neglected by Krishna and accepted by the world. Even if you are accepted by the world, what is the gain? The gain is if Krishna is pleased. Vairagi hoy kore jivera lalasa paramartha jai ar hai rase ravish. If a renunciate is eager for the tongue to taste different foods, his spiritual life will be lost and he'll become a servant of his tongue. Vairagi kore sada nama sankirtan shak patra phala mule udara bharan. The duty of the person in the renounced order is to chant the holy name always, should satisfy his belly with whatever vegetable leaves, fruits and roots are available. Although it is told for the renunciate, it actually applies to all devotees who want to go back to Godhead in one life. I was reading Prabhupada's very beautiful purport about the story of Dhruva Maharaj recently. And Prabhupada says in the purport, generally, it is difficult to go back to Godhead in one life. Prabhupada says like that. And then he further says, but if one is as serious and sincere as Dhruva Maharaj, then he can go back to Godhead in one life. Now, what does that mean? Because we see that Dhruva Maharaj, first he was eating fruits once in 3 days, and then he was drinking water once in 6 days. He would drink 6 times a day, and he was drinking once in 6 days. And then he stopped that. He was taking air, right? After water. Air once in 9 days. And then he stopped even that. So I don't recommend or don't want to be the cause of anybody's death. But then why does Prabhupada say that if you can be as serious and sincere as Dhruva Maharaj? Because Prabhupada clarifies in the purport. Prabhupada says that one need not try to attempt the austerities of Dhruva Maharaj. It's not possible. Very clearly he says. But Prabhupada says, if one just chants 16 rounds attentively, follows four regulative principles, then sincerely, then he can go back to Godhead. We may not do the same austerities, but that same seriousness and sincerity should be there. Sometimes we are sincere but not serious. We are sincerely doing our service which is allocated, but we don't have that seriousness that Krishna may call me right now while I am speaking, while I am bathing. You know, we don't know the next moment. That seriousness can come if we are conscious. Yes, I am on the verge of death always. It will give a sense of seriousness. Seriousness, yes. Further, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, Raghunath Das asked Swarup Damodar, please tell me what is my duty. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, actually you know better than me, you can instruct him. But still, since you are asking, Gramya kathana shuniba gramya vartana kahiba bhalana khaiba. Again, the word bhalana khaiba comes. It is relevant. Do not eat very palatable food. That means it can be palatable, but not very palatable. In other words, it's not that one has to imitate Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He is perfect example of renunciation. Namo Gaur Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murte Vipralambara Sambodeva. He would take skull and put some rice and some salt. He cannot imitate. At least not in preaching programs. They frighten people. But the principle is there. You cannot imitate, but following in their footsteps. But one should think that, actually just like suppose one is interested in tasting different kinds of sabjis and rice and dal. But actually if you take it inside, it all becomes khichdi. It's just the tongue. The tongue is the cause of all suffering. Because from tongue, the sex desire is aggravated. Everybody has sex desire. It's like, it's just, it's natural. But if one can control the tongue, then all other senses are controlled. So actually the tongue can be cause of rebirth. And the tongue is controlled, then can be the cause of liberation. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, bhalana khaiba, bhalana par. You should not dress very nicely. But after all, you know, if you have a bag where you put some bones and stool and urine and musk, pus and mucus, then it doesn't matter whether it's got a different color or it's just a bag. And if you actually dress simply, you can save a lot of time. Right? Like many people spend time in selecting what they're going to wear. A brahmachari is the same dress, so no problem. Otherwise, you see, in the material world, people wear tie and suit and whatnot. You can give that some Lakshmi for book distribution. It's just a waste of time decorating, a flapping, a dead piece of flesh, which is just flapping for a few more moments. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, bhala na pariba. And of course, gramya kathana shuniba. There's no question of speaking anything other than Krishna. We open our mouth, it should be for glorifying Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. But even more important than all of this is the next line. Amani mana hai, Krishna naam sada laibe. This is more important. Even if you are actually eating once in 3 days, if you are hungry for honor, then you cannot make tangible advancement. Better you eat whatever is needed, but give honor to others. Expect no honor for yourself. Whenever there is honor, one should think that this is a liability. And whenever we give honor to others, that is an asset in my devotional service. Every businessman wants to increase his assets and decrease his liability. Whenever we do some service, that is asset. And when we receive glorification, that is liability. If we do service and we are criticized, that is greater assets. Oh, wonderful will that day be when we get that fortune. When we preach and we are criticized. Or we are not on the level, but we can follow in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur and Jesus Christ who have suffered tribulations for performing service. How many of us would be eager to give a lecture if after the lecture you are beaten not in 22 but just one? One not even beaten but just criticized. But we should think like this. Krishna, give me the privilege of suffering on your behalf. Suffering for your pleasure. Of course, if we preach and receive glorification, if that is the will of the Lord, that is to be accepted grudgingly, reluctantly. But if we are so fortunate to be criticized, then that is also mercy. That is the love. Krishna loves devotees who take inconveniences and difficulties for him. That is love. And for such devotees, Krishna takes difficulties and inconveniences as he did for the great Haridas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya took the beatings on his back. That is Yathama Prapadyanta. And finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena Taroriva Saishna Mani Namani. A couple of years back in His Grace Srinadji Prabhu's home, Srinath Radhanath Maharaj gave a very beautiful lecture on Christmas, 25th December. I think some of you were there at that time Maharaj spoke. He spoke a lot about the glorification of Jesus Christ and his teachings from the Bible. But he said all of this can be summarized in this one verse. Everything what Jesus Christ says, Trinadapi Sunichena, contains everything. It's like in a nutshell, everything is there. Because if you have this quality, Trinadapi Sunichena, then you will chant constantly. And by chanting constantly, everything else which is lacking, that will develop. All the 26 qualities develop just by chanting Hare Krishna. So one has to simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. And I'll conclude with... We know how Raghunath Das Goswami later on, he was begging, he was taking in Anna Chetras, and then he stopped that, and then he was taking prasad at the rice which was rejected by the cows, he would take that rice and put some salt. And so this should be our aspiration. Somehow pray to Krishna that let me live up to this standard of trying to reduce bodily necessities, increase love for Krishna, induce people to chant Hare Krishna. I was recent, couple of months back, I was in Hyderabad and I was, after a lecture, I was in the garden chanting and one Muslim person came to me and he says, "Yahan nahi baithna, you cannot sit here, this is our garden." So I said, "What's wrong? You also sit, we are chanting the name of God. You also say Hare Krishna." He replied, "Main Hare Rama Hare Krishna nahi bolunga." I will not chant Hare Rama Hare Krishna. I said, "What is the problem?" "Bole, I'm Muslim. I said, "All right, you chant the name of Allah. God is one." So he said, "Yes. Main Allah ka naam bolunga, lekin Hare Rama Hare Krishna nahi bolunga." Then I said, "Why you cannot say God is one?" He said, "Wo aapka mandir hai, iskon ka. Wo pura din Hare Ram Hare Krishna bolta hai, lekin hum Hare Ram Hare Krishna nahi bolta." So finally I told him, "Okay, I'm leaving. Aap kya nahi bologe?" "Bole Hare Ram Hare Krishna nahi." So I thought, this is better than 1 hour lecture. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Any comments? Radha Gopinath Prabhu, any comments? Anybody else? Krishnanam Prabhu? Gargopal Prabhu, like this. Thank you very much. Shila Prabhupada ki jai.